The first time I preached this, you were there, Kim and Robbie, at St. John's, because we go, there's only so many stories in the Bible. Of course, we missed a lot. We could sit on Chronicles for the next 2 years, right? Anybody want to do Chronicles? No, right? So here we are in Matthew, but it was Luke chapter 10, and you were, they were there. You see, when you have this deep, crippling anxiety, Robbie, like I do, I remember everything I said, and I go home and go, how was that perceived, you know, that I messed up? But no one cares, right? You know, I could have shown up with no pants on. You wouldn't have cared, and you wouldn't have remembered, because I have a pulpit, thank goodness. That was a terrible analogy, but anyway, yes, you were, because you were there, and so, you know, I didn't know how to preach, and I'm getting better, I hope. So I sit there and look and go, what shall I preach on? And someone says, follow this lectionary. This, here it is, 3 years of all your sermons are laid out before you, all your ideas. And you go, hey, that's a great idea. You know, it's in the hymnal. Well, no, it's in the book of worship. It's everywhere. And my friend down at Presbyterian Church, Tom, down at Rock Church, he's preaching the same sermon today. Go to his website. Not to be lazy, but we need a framework. We need help. And there it is. Help is out there. Help is out there. And so the first time I was like, well, it's kind of a neat thing. It was Luke 10, and Jesus is sending out his disciples to go preach and share the good news. And I'm like, wow, what a great sermon, because he's sending me, this is my first day on the job, right? And so you're going out there, and who shows up? Marty Grant shows up, and Rob and Kim show up, and it's like, wow, it's pretty neat. They came. Nancy, you came with, who'd you come with?
Bobby.
You came. And people come, and you're like, what a neat thing. So here we are again, and anyone, do you remember what I said that day? No, so that's what we're going to repeat it. That's why we get the, every Christmas we do the Christmas story, because we forget it. We remember Bethlehem, right? And we remember three wise men and Mary and a donkey, but then we lose focus, right? And think about Christmas and the Macy's Day Parade and all these things. And so I'm looking at Matthew 10, and the book of John is sort of like a calendar of events, because every time he tells you something, he's like, well, then Jesus went to the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. So you know it's April. And then Jesus went to Jerusalem on this day for the Feast of the Dedication. And then he went away, and he came back for the Passover the next year. So you know exactly where he is and the time frame that he's in. And you see that 3 years laid out of his ministry. And you see the same thing with Luke. Mark is like, hey, who knows where he is? And same thing with Matthew. Where is he? What time is it? So as I try to frame this, he's just gathering his disciples. They've seen him go around Galilee and performing miracle after miracle after miracle. And there's this group following him. It's not just 12 people. It's like 72 disciples. And there's all this big group. And there's women following who are supporting the ministry. And there he comes, and he finally says, listen, here at Matthew 10. So Jesus called his 12 disciples to him. And he gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And these are the names of the 12 apostles. We can name four, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke. Oh, no, that's not them. I mean, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, right? Then we forget. Who can name another one? Shout it out. There's a prize.
Thomas,
yeah.
Matthew.
Anyone else besides my wife? She's on the page. She is. Philip and Bartholomew and Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, also known as Nathanael, right? And Simon and Judas Iscariot. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. He said, listen, do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Not yet. Who gets the good news first? God's people get it first. Go out to the Jewish people, to Israel. They get it first. It's all right being second. My wife was second when she went to get a job. Wilmington Trust. She was not the first. Another woman was chosen and said, she goes, I don't want it. Man goes, I'll take it. And life has changed. Not their first choice. That's okay. Then the 12 were sent out with the following instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles or any town of the Samaritans, especially the Samaritans, right? Go to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. And here's what you're to do. You can heal the sick. You can raise the dead. And you can cleanse those who have leprosy. You can drive out demons. Freely you go, freely give. He's quoting Isaiah 61, right? Everyone in every town would know that. The kingdom of heaven comes when? Hear the good news. Proclaim the good news. Sick are raised. Raise the dead. Heal the sick. Don't take any money with you. Don't take any gold, silver, or copper with you. Don't take a bag for the journey. Don't even take a staff. Take nothing or an extra shirt. You see, the worker is worth his keep, he says. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house till you leave. Can you imagine that today? Somebody walking by? Can I stay with your friend? You got plenty of room. I got plenty of room. If you enter the house, give it your greeting. Say to that house, peace be to this home. And let your peace rest on it. That's kind of a neat thing. You ever say that when you walk into a house? I usually say, what's for dinner, right? I'm cooking it. Should I take my shoes off? No. Jim Jones told me this. Never take your shoes off when you go in anyone's house. Anyone agree with that? No, I don't take my shoes off. Jim Jones told me not to, because my shoes are clean first when I go there. Don't take them off. If I'm not allowed in with my shoes on, Jim says he leaves. What do y'all think of that? I'll think about that later. Put a blessing on the house. And if it's not received, take it back. It's like this. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to what you have to say, leave that home and shake the dust off your feet. We don't like this, do we? You see, there's many people in my family or friends that I'm trying to convince that Jesus is the way, right? And I'm earnest about this. And I want everyone to know about who Jesus is. And they won't listen. And I've tried and I've tried and I invited somebody for 19 years now. And they keep saying no. Why do I keep doing it? What does Jesus say to do? Just be done with it. But I can't do that. I'll take the rejection more. He says it would be better for Sodom and Gomorrah on that day of judgment, for that town, for that home, for that house. That's why I can't do it, right? It can't be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Rain falling and destroying this family. But Jesus says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as snakes. We know how shrewd snakes are. Got Eve to eat that apple. Convince them that God's hiding, keeping something from you. You can have it. Be innocent as doves. Be on your guard, he says. And you will be handed over to local councils. And there you're going to be flogged in the synagogues. What a horrible thing. They take that cat of nine tails, right, and there's pieces of lead on the end of that leather whip, and they will beat you 39 times with it because 40's too much. And then they'll turn you around and do your front. Don't forget that. On account of me, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. And when you're arrested, don't worry about what you're going to say. At any time, you will be given what to say. For it will be not by you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father will speak through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me. For the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. This is the worst sales pitch in the history of anything. Who wants to join? Take nothing. Rely on others. Walk into houses. Put a curse on them if they don't give you dinner. And you may be executed and flogged. And that little girl signed up for it, didn't she? Alice said, I'll do it. And when you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the town of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above the teacher, nor the servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their masters and servants like their masters. It is the head of the house who's been called Beelzebub. How much more than the members of this household? You see, do not be afraid of them, for there's nothing that they can do that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, Jesus says, speak it in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, he says, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill your soul. Rather, be afraid of the one that can destroy both your body and hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, said Jesus, but I brought to bring a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own home. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. You see, I didn't want to do this today because this is a hard one. And how can I do it without, am I this man who can be like this? Boy, there's my daughter right there. Jesus first, then her. Jesus first, then my wife, then her, Don. You got to put them in order. Hard, isn't it, Rob? She's second. Huh? Which one? Either one.
He said sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes you can put them last. Hey, they painted that house for you. They were good that. This one's hard, isn't it? I want to be first, he says. And you know what they'll treat me like? I'll send out my servants and they'll treat me like Beelzebub. We see that name? I'm going to get nerdy with it, Joey. Well, I like this part. Who is Beelzebub? It's the god of the Philistines that everyone knew from the city of Ekron. Remember in Samuel when they took the Ark of the Covenant and they took it to that town, I forget it. They put it next to Dagon. They put it next to their god. And what did God do? He made the statue fall down. Next town over has their own, Beelzebub. He is the Lord of the Flies. And you all remember that book they made you read in high school? Lord of the Flies, William Golding. Anyone read it? Raise your hand. Did you like it? No. Because the boys, it's a bunch of prepossessing boys that get stuck on an island and they form a government and it doesn't go well, you know, because, and they make fun, it's terrible, and they worship the beast and they worship a pig with a big, now the insects are coming and eating the thing and it's the Lord of the Flies. It is the devil, isn't it, that they're worshiping. They got things all mixed up and it does not end well. It's one of those books I thought I could give out to kids, and I remember reading it, like The Little Prince. Anybody know that by Saint Exupery? I thought, and I was going to give it to the kids in the church. And then I remembered the end. I went, ooh, can't do that. It's a children's book, but it's, you can't give it to kids. You know what I mean? One of those. Read it for yourself. Watch the movie. Bob Fosse's in it. You'll love it. So is Gene Wilder. He plays the fox. You ever see Bob Fosse in that movie? That's where Michael Jackson stole all his dance moves from. True story. But don't let the kids watch it at the end. All right, Don, you're not going to watch The Little Prince. We had to learn it in French. Mrs. Craven taught us that. In French. There's more to meets the eye with this guy, huh? Lord of the Flies, French. You see, many of you know my battle, and the battle is over for me, fighting my family. So I said I didn't want to do this today. And then I sat down and read it, and it's sort of a self-healing. It's physician, heal thyself, Jesus said. Read my words. Who's the most important in your life? Is it? You see, Jesus is talking to a group, and you see here he's got little children at the end of it. So this is a big crowd. We know that he sent out 12, but he actually sent out 72. There's a big crowd. They've got their families. They've got their children. He's talking to the children. You know, bless them. If you give them a cup of water, it's like giving me a cup of water. You've done it for me too. Help the helpless. And so he says, you know, this is a shame and honor culture, and everyone's a good Jew. They're going to the people of Israel, all the Jewish people, and they know that there is one God. There is not a Trinity to them. There is God, and there is God only. And what he's saying is, your son, your daughter, your wife, or somebody's going to come to you and say, it's about Jesus. That's how we get to Yahweh. You've shamed the family. If a wife can't have a child, she is shamed. She gave him a divorce. When the son, the prodigal son comes, he says, Dad, I want my inheritance now. He has shamed the family, and then he goes away. You see, there's shame and honor. You've shamed the family. You've got to go. I was working at G.R. Mitchell up in Willow Street as a store manager. We hired this 16-year-old boy. His parents were Jehovah Witnesses. And he said, Dad, I don't want to be a Jehovah. And he came to the store one day, he said, with a suitcase, because he said, they kicked me out. I'm 16 years old, and all my stuff was on the front porch when I got home, and the locks were changed. True story. The guy working with me said, hey, you can stay with me at my place. And he went to live in that apartment until things got figured out. But if you don't believe it's still happening, if you don't believe the Bible's true, if you don't believe that the world is divided because of Abraham's sons, if you don't believe that brother versus brother and brother versus sister, Jesus will divide us. It's tough being in a family. And I don't want to make fun of anyone in particular. And I'm not when I'm doing this. You see, we say things like, I love you all like a family. We're one big family, aren't we? And who did I say that? Chuck, he's not here today. Chuck is our electrician. He came to do some work for us, and we were talking. He goes, I love you guys like family. And I said, ooh. Can we do better than that? We had that conversation. You said you love me like the brother you didn't have. Please do not. Love me like a friend. And so one of my friends, his name's John, and he is a good man, and I'm not making fun of him, but I look for irony. I'm a little bit of a skeptic. And he's retiring from the ministry. And he says, it's heartbreaking and hard to retire. These people are family. But he's leaving them to go be with his family. You see, I don't want to pick on him. He's done good. The church is his family, but he wants to go be with his family. A friend of mine asked me for a favor. Her name's Elena. I said, I'll do anything for you, Elena. And then she asked a favor, Barb. And guess what I said? I can't do that. You know, you say something, you think you mean it. boy, is it tough being part of a family. And mine's broken. Not these guys. They're good. The four of us, the six of us. You know, I need you all. I need a church. And when Madison Ford calls me, I thought it was a car dealership. Madison Ford here. I'm like, what was there a special? Oh, no, I needed to bury someone. Oh, the Ford. Terrible joke, but it's when it happened, it was funny. Who? You know, this brother versus brother and sister versus sister, and the sons will hate their fathers, and it's because of Jesus. But he will also bring us together. You see, we're hard set in our ways. Mr. Miller asked me, my friend Mary Beth's going to play for us next Sunday. So don't tell her about what I said, okay? Can you keep that? Because hopefully he'll be here. And we're going to love on him. We're going to show him the love of God. We're going to preach to him. It's going to be great, right? And then you saw how hard it was to be a part of when it couldn't be together. Because Jesus divides us. He says he's going to do this. God says Abraham and Isaac and Ishmael will divide the world. And you see it today. The straits open, the straits close. It's open again. We're going to charge. We're not going to charge. Prices are going down. Now I'm going to go back up. The Mustang sucks down that gas. We got to have them prices go down, right? Right, Fran? These things are... The Chevy drives on four cylinders. What's up with that? We hate that. So here we have this thing. It's brother. It's family. And what's really important is being part of God's family. To know that he's in control. That our Father in heaven is the one that truly loves us. I had a great stepfather. I had a lousy dad. So we do this Happy Father's Day. And I think, anyone else have a bad one? It happens, right? But then I had another man step up. And I've had a church that loved me all these years. I went back to see Mount Pleasant after the UMC said, hit the road, and I tell them what happened. They go, we're not surprised. That's who they are. See, they didn't second guess me. And you all didn't second guess me because you knew it, Nancy, and all of you, the board members, you knew, and it was this family. And I understand Father John, he wants to go back to his, you know, but he loved his family. This is so important what we do. We come out here week after week and we worship together. It's so important. I hope it's the best part of your week. Maybe eating hot dogs tonight is. Because we're doing dogs tonight with chili. I hope you know that this is the most important thing we do, is to praise God. And he says he will reward us. There is reward. There is hope. There is a new body. Thank goodness. The warranty is off on this one, Keith. What's that? $30. Would you pray with me, my friends? Father, I hope this made sense. I hope that the words they hear today, that knowing that we are family, and it's a good thing. And there will be division. There's division in the boardroom, but let me tell you, it's so small. But there's so much love in that room, too. There's so much love in this church. We will go our separate ways and back into our homes. And that's where we have to share the good news of Jesus with those who've rejected it their whole lives. And once again, we know we're supposed to dust off our shoes, but we will stand face to face with those that we love and share the good news again and face rejection, maybe. Maybe the word will not return void as you promise. Maybe they'll hear this time. Maybe this will be the time we have a breakthrough. May broken families be healed. May broken countries be built up again so the people can prosper. But may the name of Jesus be on everyone's lips. May every knee bow before him, proclaiming him as Lord. The things we do in his name will be our reward. If we don't acknowledge Jesus here, he will not acknowledge us in front of his Father. That cannot happen. As a people, as a church, we acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. only way to get to the Father is through him. He is the truth. He is life. He is the way. He is the resurrection. Our faith in him, and we will never die. We will simply put on new bodies, and we will put on clean robes, and we will stand before the Father, pure as snow, entering the wedding feast, where the wine will flow and the meats and cheeses will be served. The fruit trees will produce more than we can ever imagine. We will sing with the choir of angels. We thank you, Father, for this promise because of your Son. We do this in his name. Amen.